We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
With Houston Methodist Virtual Urgent Care, you can skip the drive and the waiting room and connect to our board-certified providers from your computer, tablet, or mobile phone. Virtual urgent care visits are available 24/7, no appointment needed, even on weekends and holidays. Now you can get the same trusted care you expect from Houston Methodist, wherever you are, whenever you need us.
To learn more, visit HoustonMethodist.org. Houston Methodist, leading medicine.
The following is a presentation of the Rice Sports Network.
The Rice Sports Network.
From Learfield IMG College. On the Rice Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, welcome to Rice Owls Insider, powered by IBEW Local 716. Lighting up Rice University in Houston for over 100 years. Carbach Brewing Company, crafted for serious fun. And by AT&T Sportsnet, the TV home of the Astros and Rockets. Now, here's the voice of the Owls, J.P. Heath.
Welcome back to Rice Owls Insider, here presented by IBEW Local 716. Quick request to subscribe to these episodes wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, and the like. And you'll be the first to get them. That's it's a big help, obviously, to get that info out there as soon as possible. But a lot of it is evergreen content. You can listen to it whenever, but we want you to get that info out there. So subscribing is a big help to us. And we're also on YouTube as well. Match the voice with the face, or the face with just the voice. I don't know what that meant. But this episode, again, features head baseball coach Matt Braga. Owls lost 3-4 in Norfolk. It's been a tough stretch. And yeah, I've got it with blue and gray contact lenses, glasses, whatever the visual metaphor there is. But just want these guys to succeed so bad. And there are some positives that have come out of that. The Owls took that second game of the doubleheader in really neat fashion. So here, Coach Bragg, elaborate on that coming up in just a little bit. But this weekend, we're down I-10 at UTSA for the first of four. The 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th games against the Roadrunners this year. All of them on the TuneIn app, RiceOwls.com, and the Rice Game Day app as well. The easier way, just go to that Rice schedule page, and you can do what you want. Not going to boss you around, tell you how to listen, but you can go to that Rice schedule page In addition to Coach Bragg, I speak with assistant coach Paul Janisch on the show, the big leaguer. Have some fun with Paul, relive some Rice days and also some big league memories as well. But a lot of our focus spent on looking at some of the younger players in this Rice team. But no doubt you heard by now the disappointing news. The Rice volleyball team's game against North Carolina A&T was declared a no contest. This, of course, does not take away from another fantastic season from Coach Volpe's team, but they'll be back in action as hopefully there won't be the restrictions around coming up in the fall, and they can get back in their regular swing of things in their routines. The Rice soccer team brings home its third conference title in school history, 2-0 win over Charlotte, and head coach Brian Lee will be on the show with us to talk about that matchup against his alma mater, Furman. Coach speaks to that. He could only kind of chuckle as he saw that draw going against a former protege, I guess always a protege, or just somebody thinks a lot of from the Furman side of things. But every show proudly brought to you by IBEW Local 716, International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 716, lighting up Rice University in Houston for over 100 years. Stay tuned. We kick off the show with Coach Braga coming up next. This is Rice House Insider from Learfield, IMG College.
The Wyndham Houston Medical Center Hotel and Suites is the preferred hotel for anybody visiting the medical center, the museum district, or Rice University. We offer the largest suites in the medical center, complete with full kitchens, and our full-service restaurant and outdoor pool will make your stay complete. We look forward to having you experience the Wyndham Houston Medical Center Hotel and Suites soon. And if you need a group rate or need 10 or more rooms, don't forget to call 713-528-7744. That's 713-528-7744.
This refreshing message brought to you by Love Street Cold Style Blonde. If you're in the mood for something new that's not really new and actually feels like it's been around the whole time, then take a trip down Love Street. This easy drinking anytime Cold Style Blonde goes great with your favorite record and favorite people. It's a refreshing beer and a state of mind, but I'm just a voice on the radio. You should try it out for yourself. All you need is Love Street. Brewed with love in Houston, Texas at the Carbach Brewing Company.
Welcome back to Rice Owls Insider and the voice of the Owls, J.P. Heath.
Welcome back on Rice Owls Insider. Stay tuned in just a smidge. We have assistant coach Paul Janisch. You have probably heard of him. And we also have Conference USA champion soccer coach Brian Lee joining us. A jam-packed show, but here during baseball season, as we did during the, remember those pre-pandemic times? We have a focus on the diamond with head coach Matt Bragg of our baseball guys. Coach, how are you?
Doing good, JP. How are you doing, man?
Yeah, can't complain too much. I know overall it was a tough series at ODU, but there's still a lot of positive things that are coming through. What were your overall thoughts before I dive into some specifics? How do you feel now, separated by about 48 hours from our last game?
Yeah, you look back at the series and you say, first couple games didn't go very well. Guys responded in the second game of a doubleheader on Saturday. And then, Sunday they, played okay. Didn't score like we needed to, but Blake Brogdon, there were certainly some highlights throughout the whole weekend. And, Blake Brogdon, Deskins, Garibay, those guys on the bump all did a really, really good job. Offensively, game three of the series that we won 11-2, there were some really good things that happened. So a lot of young guys getting playing time. So that's good to see and holding their own. Nathan Becker in our win in game two on Saturday hit his first two collegiate home runs. And so that was great to see, obviously against a good Old Dominion team.
I wanted to start with Garibay. I'm glad you mentioned him because he got the win on the mound. It was his first career win. And my gosh, like again, we've said in other settings, encourage folks to tune into our pregame chats and some of our postgame social media talks. But guy is a gamer. And to see that type of level from a freshman, explain it from a baseball sense, because the guy can play, loves to get dirty, and he got you that win, game two of the doubleheader.
Yeah, you know, he's such a good offensive player. And I know the numbers are a little down here. He struggled in the past 3 weeks, quite frankly. So we were giving him a break. We were taking some time away. Didn't have him in the lineup, game two of the doubleheader on Saturday on purpose, just to let him step back for a minute offensively. We did know how, you know, obviously he was going to be in a roll out of the pen. And that young man came in, I think, second inning? And really dominated. And he is, you know, it's amazing because the stuff is good. It's not like it's bad by any stretch. It's good stuff, but he does so many unique things. You know, he'll quick pitch you. He'll throw a sidearm one pitch. Yeah. He'll rock back. He'll double pump. You know, he knows how to pitch. He throws a bunch of strikes. He can mix pitches in any count. And you said it, JP, the thing that separates him from so many people, not just at Rice, I'm talking about throughout the country, he's just an ultimate warrior. He's a competitor and so fun to have on your club. And he's going to be a special player here. There's no question about that.
And he was a part of the next question I'm asking because the opener philosophy, I don't know if you term it that, but yeah, Micah Davis making his first career start in that game that Garrett Bay pitched so well, 4 1/3, I guess it was. But then Matthew Linsky does the same thing for you on Sunday. And the way you explained it to me, it of course, makes perfect sense, is that you want to shorten the game, so to speak. But, I mean, like you told me, hey, some other stuff wasn't working, so we tried that, and at least in the short term. I mean, you split the two games, but what's your overall thought on that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I like that. Like, I think, you know, right now we haven't thrown well. And so just try to shake it up, you know, mix it up a little bit and see if there's something that can spark us and work. And, you know, in both those settings, we had Deskins on the back end of that front game that Davis started. And we had Brogdon on the back end of the game that Linsky started. And so, yeah, we're just trying to shorten the game to get to those guys that are a little more proven. They're not freshmen anymore. You know, but both those guys, think about where they were a couple years ago as freshmen. I think Brogdon threw like 3 innings the whole year, and, you know, Deskins struggled to throw strikes, and now they're two guys we're counting on greatly and are doing a good job. But we're trying to shorten the game on the front end, and if we have to staff it a little bit to make that happen, and that was the plan. Like with Davis, we were going to go an inning or two with Micah, and then Garibay an inning or two, and Garibay was hot, so we left him in there. Very similar to Zaskota at Texas A&M. So, So that's kind of a philosophy. Yeah, you could call it opener, like the big leagues are doing, like Tampa Bay's been doing, and quite a bit. And we may stick with that.
I have a two-part Nathan Becker question. The first part is he has the two home runs, and I wanted you to elaborate on something you told me off mic and off camera, I guess, on the video side we're doing too. But just how much you thought of him. He had an interesting summer, how he didn't really travel far, but he played locally. And now, at least, I mean, power numbers aren't the whole thing, but it resulted in that big kind of come on the scene moment with the two homers. So speak to Becker and what you liked about him and what you've seen from him.
Yeah, Becker has always hit. Like from the time he was a sophomore in high school, he is always like led his district in hitting, led teams in hitting, led summer leagues in hitting. And this summer, you know, after he finished his senior year of high school, hard to find spots to play because of the COVID situation. But there was a league in Tomball. It's the Houston Collegiate League. And it was really good league this summer, and better than even normal because so many other leagues were shut down. The Cape Cod was shut down this summer. And so it was even better than normal. I mean, there were guys from all over the country, all over this area, Texas Tech, TCU, Texas A&M, Rice, Houston, you name it, they had guys in that league. And Becker led that league in hitting as a high school senior, just finishing his senior year of high school. And there were guys, there's a kid hitting .403 at Texas Tech right now that plays every day and leadoff hitter for them quite most of the time. And he out-hit that guy. I mean, that's just what Nathan's done. He got off to a very slow start for us early in the year here, so we've sat him quite a bit. I give the young man a lot of credit. He continues to grind. He is a hitting connoisseur. He loves hitting, studies it. And for him to come off what he's been on the bench for a long time, to be able to come off the bench after a long time sitting and do what he did, the first five RBIs of that game to help us win that game, power right down the left field line from a left-hand hitter. That's amazing. and then the bomb to right center.
This will be a great test to see how many of the players actually listen to and or watch the show. But the second part of my Nathan Becker question, I have a little fun here. Have you heard the story about his first home run ball yet?
No, I don't think I have, JP.
Okay, in short, the end of it isn't final yet, okay? And that'll make sense here in a few moments. But I've got a friend that's the SID at Old Dominion. He happened to be walking out when Becker hit that home run right down the line. Because, you know, there's that parking area behind the left field fence in Norfolk. So my friend delivers me the ball that Becker hit labeled before our Sunday game. When I came back and did my pregame routine and everything. So I was thinking, we've got to find an interesting way to get this to Becker. And I told this story on the broadcast, which I know obviously you're not listening to.
Yeah.
So I asked, anyway, through my means, there is a player on the team that has Becker's home run ball, and they're going to give it to him in an interesting way. Maybe I shouldn't have told the head coach this, but it's a little fun behind the scenes. The guys, let's just say one of the team leaders is going to have some fun with him. He may have already given it to him, but he told me in the layover in Nashville. And so I, in good conscience, coach, I like you so much, I had to let you in on that part. I don't know the ending of it, but it was really, really funny start to it.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'll have to find out what the ending is. Has the ending happened? I mean, is it done?
I don't think so. I haven't talked to said player since late Sunday night when we landed, but let's just say Becker was the type that is able to be joked with.
Yeah.
And this other player, I'm not revealing all of it, is going to deliver but you don't get that in the college game much, to get that first home run ball. So
no question, you know, and Nathan is, he's a good natured young man. And you know, guys do like to rib him a little bit, and he takes it well. I mean, he's, you know, the thing about it is, you would think the biggest, strongest, cause he's like the biggest, strongest guy on our team. You would think no one would joke around with him at all, but they do. And he has a great nature and can handle it. But they know probably, hey, you better not really mess with this guy. But I give our guys credit, because they're still, you know, it's been a difficult year, and they're still having fun, and they're still fighting. And I think that right there just kind of goes to the point, like, hey, they're still enjoying themselves. They're going to keep on working hard.
Can't wait to see how that story ends. But on the offensive side, things have picked up. Six guys over 300 for the week. Brownlee Nighting led you in hitting the week, 389, just from the bats. While they had scuffled there for a little bit, are you starting to see them wake up? I mean, against a really, really good ODU staff, too.
Yeah, I mean, their starter, Hunter Gregory, what was the game we won? He had a 1.2 ERA or 1.3 ERA coming in. Teams were hitting about .130 against him. And that's the game we score 11 runs. And you're right, their staff, I think they were like second in the league in ERA coming into the weekend. So our guys have. They had a good weekend, and they're seeing the ball better. And we are definitely more potent offensively now than we were a month ago. Like, there's no question in my mind about that. So that's great to see. We need that, and we need that to continue. And our veterans are doing a good job.
And you think the defense is better now? Because, I mean, there are so many great defensive plays. Dukes made one in left. Como made a few. It just seems all around. Again, we had a blip. It seems like y'all are back on track defensively.
Yeah, I think so. You remember, right, early in the year, we were just dying. We came out of the gates dynamite defensively the first three weekends, maybe even four, top 10 in the country in defensive fielding percentage. And then, like, our first two weekends of conference play, we made, like, 10 errors or 9 errors in those 8 games. And it was probably 10. And so, our guys have kind of, Coach Giannis does a great job with those guys. Coach Barton, Coach Putzig, they do a great job, and they've definitely settled in. And yeah, defense was really good this weekend. Our freebies were so much better, you know, in terms of allowing free bases. You know, I know the scoreboard didn't always go our way, but in terms of allowing free bases this past weekend, we threw more strikes. We made less errors. Like, we absolutely made Old Dominion earn their bases way more than we had in the previous couple weekends. So that was a great, great thing to see.
Last couple questions. You go to UTSA, very familiar with them, obviously. They got swept in Charlotte, so they'll be keyed in. But thoughts on playing them for a second four-game set?
Yeah, you know, they're a good team. And you know, they played us tough here. We played them early in the year. They beat us 3 out of 4. I think we had a big, maybe Cade Edwards walk-off homer in one of those games for us, which was huge. But we know how important this series is. I mean, you know, our guys understand, hey, listen, if we're going to be able to play postseason baseball, you have to start winning games. And they understand that it's now or never. And so, you know, we look forward to playing a team we've already played. And, you know, I think our guys will play with a chip on their shoulder. I know they will. So I'm anxious to get this thing going. We're going to have a good week of practice and then, you know, go to UTSA and play some good baseball.
And lastly, we've got Coach Yanish on the show coming up next. Thoughts that he's been on the staff and dealing with the celebrity going back to Norfolk, his longest minor league stop when he was there. But just thoughts on him, what he means, and the things he does. You alluded to it a little bit, but just what he does for the team.
Yeah, well, Coach Yanish is first and foremost an incredible human being. Like what a guy. And our young men love him. Like, just like they do Coach Barton, you know, they love him. And they'd do anything for that guy. And but so beyond that, though, beyond the personal skill set that he has with people skills, he's a great baseball coach. He obviously played in the big leagues for 9+ years and is a great teacher. You know, when he really slows the game down and teaches our young men the fundamentals of defense, the fundamentals of base running, the fundamentals of our bunt game, the fundamentals of hitting, like, he does a great job and he has our guys here. That is for sure. And just garners so much respect. And I'm very grateful for Coach Yanish. Amazing guy, amazing baseball person and coach.
Hey, Coach, thanks for the time. No midweek game this week, so we'll be seeing you in the Alamo City and I guess on the bus on the way over. Thank you, Coach.
JP, thank you for your time, man. Have a good
Appreciate
one,
buddy. Head baseball coach Matt Braggett. Stay tuned on Rice Outs Insider. We will have the aforementioned Paul Yanish joining us next year from Learfield, IMG College.
The members of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 716 built the things that make Rice University and Houston great, and we want you to join us. Build a better career. To find out more, visit IBEW716.net.
Rockets fans, AT&T Sportsnet is your home for everything Rockets. Stay up to date with your favorite team and follow AT&T Sportsnet SW on social media for exclusive content. Hear from Kaylee Griffin and Matt Bullard for insight on what's going on around the team.
I think he's going to be really, really good for the Houston Rockets.
Plus new episodes of Rockets All Access. Turn to AT&T Sportsnet from pregame to postgame. Watch every game only on AT&T Sportsnet.
You're listening to Rice Owls Insider. Let's rejoin JP Heath.
Stay tuned in just a bit. We have Conference USA Soccer Coach of the Year, Brian Lee, coming up in a moment. But right now, it's all sure hands. Paul Yanish joining us on his debut of Rice Owls Insider. Now, I think you came on the old Coach Graham shows. Coach might have been on a Coach Braga show. But Coach, know you're busy, man. Thanks for popping on.
Anything for you, JP. Anything for you. We always got time.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. So, obviously, it's been a tough season. You did have some bright spots last segment. I heard we talked with Coach Braga, and there are some things that are getting better. But just overall sentiment, some things and some growth that you've seen from the guys. What are you thinking about things now?
Yeah, obviously, the season up to this point, you know, hadn't wins and losses wise hasn't gone the way we would have hoped when the season started. And there's a bunch of variables there. I think we can agree that, you know, on the mound, we hadn't been quite what we had hoped. And that's proved itself evident here the last few weekends of conference as well. And all that being said, we knew we were going to have some young guys that were going to have to contribute in a big fashion. And I think we're starting to see that some of those younger guys are getting on the bump and getting into some uncomfortable situations and having some success as well. So it's been tough on some of those guys, but I think to your point, I think it's been an opportunity for growth. And I think long-term, you know, in particular, some of the freshman pitchers on the mound, that investment in the future, I think, is going to pay off.
Coach Braga was quick to credit you a week or two ago when Connor Wall started this ascent, and the average now in the line doesn't really show how good he's been recently, but just what's gone into Connor's game as you guys get him from Ole Miss, and obviously he's a guy that has most, if not all, the tools. What have you seen from number 5 out there in center?
Yeah, from an ability standpoint, JP, I mean, honestly, he's got the physical ability to do things that other people just can't do. Even, I mean, obviously I've had the opportunity to play at a pretty high level and see some guys that have some unique ability, and he's in that mix. Like, that's the type of things that he can do on a baseball field. And being totally honest, and Connor would tell you the same thing, you know, he's just dealt, I think, with up to this point in his college career at Ole Miss, he didn't get the opportunity to play, and here he's obviously getting the opportunity to play, and that's what he needs to do. He needs to go out there and play and kind of figure it out, so to speak. And I think there's been an element of confidence that we've tried to help foster with him, and you can see it even like in his body language and stuff, you know, even in at bat body language and pitch to pitch body language and things of that nature has gotten significantly better, and the results have gotten better. So it's just, he's a snowball kind of guy in the sense that, man, if it all clicks and he puts it together, it could be something pretty special, which we're hoping is what we end up seeing long-term.
And how about Guy Garibay? Coach and I talked about him last segment too. The great thing he did on the bump coming out of the pen, and he's the gamer. While the offense has scuffled a little bit as of late, used to be more, I guess, in your era. I'm not calling you old, but the old school two-way guys, like we saw a lot more of. So what do you think of Guy and his maturation as a young guy too?
Yeah, he has scuffled a little bit at the plate, but man, I think all of us would agree. And even when you hear opposing coaches talk about Guy, it's the long-term plan for him is still going to, the future is still very bright. And, you know, that's part of the process of, we're asking him to do a whole lot as a freshman, right? He's playing right field. He's hitting in the middle of the lineup. He's pitching in various roles. And like you said, this last weekend ended up pitching for a longer stint in the second game of the doubleheader and did well, right? He ended up getting us the win, but he's just a special kid from a competitive standpoint. He thrives on the competition, and that's the reason that we're always going to bet on that kid. He's going to overcome the adversity that he's kind of currently dealing with and be better for it. But he's what we want, and I think he's going to continue to help the program going forward.
We all know Houston and Rice, your real home, at least from the hometown college perspective. But going back to Norfolk this past week, Any special things? Are you block? You seem like the type of guy that can easily compartmentalize that kind of stuff. But a lot of people are asking about you with your long stint there with between the Tides and the Orioles there. What were your thoughts going back there?
Yeah, it was fun. I really liked Norfolk and enjoyed our time there. It was, talking to my wife about it, and even my kids, you know, they spent a lot of time at that ballpark and kind of had some fond memories of being in the clubhouse and, you know, getting to hit in the cages and on the field and do that stuff. So it was reminiscing a little bit, was fun, and it was just, you know, and for me personally, it was the last stint of my playing career. So to a certain degree, I think it'll be something that I kind of will always have a soft spot for, always remember fondly from the time in Norfolk.
When's the last time you wore your national championship ring, Coach?
Oh man. It's been a little while, you know, initially the only time I wore that thing was when guys on that team got married. I'd wear it to their weddings, but the last time I wore it, I think I wore it to a coach's deal that, you know, there's a big deal over in the Galleria, and Dabo Sweeney got a coach of the year or something. I think I wore it to that deal, but I don't wear it too frequently. It's a little bit gaudy. It's kind of like, I got this little stress ball here, but it's kind of like having that on your hand, right? So I'm not an attention guy. I try not to draw too much attention. So wearing that thing, it's hard to not draw attention.
Yeah, that's why I ask it, because I know you're not the gaudy, ostentatious type with that. But you talked to Coach Graham recently. I always like asking the older players from that era. And I know, obviously, you coached him for a short time, but just any communication with Coach and just the meaning he had on your career.
Well, I think in a lot of ways, he probably, whether it was on purpose or not, he kind of dictated my psyche towards the game. Right. And then like the way I played and the way I viewed things and evaluated things. But, I haven't talked to him since around the holidays. So I guess around Christmas is the last time I talked to him. I need to get a hold of him. I know he's spend a little time. He's up in Austin. I know he's spending some time hanging out with Coach Pearson a little bit. I don't know to what extent, but But from what I understand, he's doing pretty well. So I think you're making me think about it. I need to call him and reach out and touch base.
Okay. Yeah. May 14th, 2008, what were you doing?
Oh, man. If I recall correctly, that may have been the peak of my big league career, right? I got called up and got a walk-off hit the very first night in the big leagues, which I still affectionately say was I peaked early. But no, it was pretty cool. It was the first call-up, obviously, is a unique deal, and my mom was there. I remember that, and you know, we drove up from Louisville, which is only about an hour and 15 minutes from Cincinnati, and it was a good time. Good time.
I feel ashamed. I pride myself on my prep. I didn't know. I forgot that back half that you had the walk-off hit. I remember it now that you said that. But take us through going up to that, because you're one of the few people on the planet that can answer a question like this. What were you thinking? And obviously the thing of being pretty surreal. Yeah. Or does it go by fast? Is it kind of a fog?
Man, so at that point, you know, you're in the middle of a season, right? And the pro season is a relative grind. And I just remember that I was playing very well in AAA, and I was, I don't know that I was ever at peace, or whatever, however you want to say. When I found out I was getting called up, I was pretty excited, because I felt fortunate that I was getting called up at a time in which I was playing well with that, which I think generally speaking is the way that it works, because you're not getting called up if you're not playing good. But I just remember a very peace of mind over myself, thinking like, well, I'm glad that it's happening. Because from a playing standpoint, I remember thinking very clearly like that I'll take care of the rest, because I was playing good. So it is a unique deal. Not a lot of people get to experience that. And, you know, now I'm after being done playing, like having gone back to Norfolk and thinking about some of the aspects of my playing days, it kind of brings to light how difficult it is to get to the big leagues. And that kind of thing is something that it's pretty special, you know. And I don't think I'll ever lose sight of how quote unquote cool that was.
Yeah, baseball's hard. Newsflash, right?
It's a hard game.
One of the more favorite stories I've heard from anybody was you telling me about helping Prince Fielder buy a pool. So I have the right player, and I think I remember that because confession time. I was a Rangers fan then and still am. Or is that when Prince was with the Brewers? Or could you please tell us that anecdote as we wrap up here?
Yeah, Prince was with the Brewers at the time. So I affectionately tell that story as I got recruited to pitch at Rice, right? And I never pitched at Rice, but I did pitch in the big leagues. yeah, Prince took me deep, and him and I actually knew each other a little bit. And so we kind of joked about it afterwards. So he was with the Brewers at the time, and it was they had a really offensive team, and he took advantage of an opportunity late in the game. So, but he was a good hitter, so I don't really feel that bad about that, if we're being honest. I mean, I wasn't the only guy he took deep.
Yeah, he did that a few times. And finally, of course, most know your wife Maria, a former Rice soccer player. She on cloud nine now. We're having Coach Lee come on next to talk some Rice soccer. She pretty giddy now after the soccer conference USA title?
She was super excited. She follows him very closely, and actually I think has developed a little bit of a rapport with Coach Lee, and she's still pretty involved with you know, the in various ways with the soccer team and women's athletics at Rice in general. So she was excited. She was excited, and I think she told me this morning that they are they going to Furman?
Yes.
Yeah, which is a little bit. Ironic, right, with Coach Lee's history there.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Coach, thanks. You're my hero. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
Diocho, anything for you, bud. Anything for you. I appreciate you having me.
Thanks, Coach Barton and Coach Yanish. Late into the night trying to get that nickname started, which I embrace. I don't mind with my large noggin there. Thank you, Coach. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, JPC, man.
Paul Yanish, assistant coach for Rice House. Stay tuned. We'll have the aforementioned Coach Lee coming up next here from Learfield IMG College. big trip on the horizon? Before you depart, you gotta park. The parking spot is a simpler, easier way to navigate airport parking, and you can save when you book online. You're guaranteed a spot, and we even pick you up at your trunk in our yellow and black spotted shuttles and take you straight to the terminal. Parking and saving come full circle at the parking spot. The parking spot, proud sponsor of Rice University. Visit theparkingspot.com to reserve your spot today.
The members of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 716 built the things that make Rice University and Houston great, and we want you to join us. Build a better career. To find out more, visit IBEW716.net.
Welcome back to Rice Owls Insider. Here again, the voice of the Owls, J.P.
Welcome back on Rice Owls Insider. Rice soccer team recently winning the Conference USA Tournament at Holloway Field there Wednesday, April 28th. The Owls open up the NCAA Tournament in the Tar Heel State. And Conference USA Coach of the Year, Brian Lee, joins us now. Coach, I know it's a week out as we record this, and you've got busy time, so thanks for fitting us in. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. These are good times for sure.
Yes, indeed. And just getting a note, Sully sent it to me right before we hit air. So if we recorded this earlier, we wouldn't have had this, but the number 22 ranking comes out. What's that? It's not what it's all about, but it kind of, it shows the progress that you have made in your short time. What's that number 22 ranking mean to you?
Well, it's a nice reflection on the efforts of the student athletes so far this spring. You know, obviously we think it's been a really good season, and we keep getting better and better, but it's nice to see your peers recognize that as well. So nothing but positives from it.
So the big thing, obviously looking forward to that match against Furman, and the more I was educated on this, the NCAA certainly has a sense of humor with such things as you get to match up against your alma mater, a place that is so close to your heart. I heard you say in another interview, what was the first thing that flashed through your mind when you heard you'd be matching up with Furman and Coach Burr over there?
Well, I just had a chuckle. You know, it's you always see it in the NCAA basketball tournament. I feel like there's a couple matchups a year that are, you know, a little bit suspicious in how they ended up happening. But this is a, you know, it's a really special and fun opportunity, I think, for me, for Andrew, their coach. We're very tight. And the schools, one of the reasons I was so interested in coming to Rice to be the head soccer coach was my background at Furman. And it was an environment I really enjoyed, in a peer group between the student athletes and our administrative staff. I really liked the operations of the department and saw a lot of similar things in Rice and felt like it's just a souped up Furman. So that's proven to be true. And they're both great soccer schools.
Your defense has been clicking. Everything's been clicking. 8 shutouts in a row for Bella Kilgore, who we'll talk about in a little bit, more than 800 minutes of playing time since the last goal. But just what's been clicking? I know it's, of course, been a lot of the defense, but what got you through and got you that Conference USA tournament on your home turf there?
Yeah, well, you know, it starts with team defending. Our forwards are our first defenders, and they do a great job with our system and setting our line of confrontation and really dictating where the opponent's got to go with the ball. And then the kids behind the ball, including our defensive midfielders, not just the back line, they read the game really well. And we're on a long streak defending. You know, if you shut out that many teams in a row, you're getting a little lucky here or there. You know, a ball's hit the post, that's been fortunate. But we like the way we're playing, and the communication among the group is outstanding. And really, the peak of it was the tournament 3 games. I thought that was outstanding. We were never really overly pressured from the flow of play in any of the 3 games against quality opponents.
So discuss Bella. Like I mentioned earlier, she has had a good run too, but a lot of that, of course, has to do with the young women in front of her. So what's named the Keeper of the Year in Conference USA, and then I saw she was named National Player of the Week by one publication. So discuss how she's been so lights out for you there in goal.
Yeah, she's awesome. And she's improved so much with assistant coach Megan Kinneman's help over the last 24 months. You know, the kid kills herself every day on the athletic fields and does the same thing academically. You know, such an impressive human being first. But beyond that, soccer-wise, we play a 3-defender setup, and she plays a little high behind the line. And her communication, her positioning is so good that she's limiting opportunities for the other team before they become chances. And then the cherry on top is just the free kicks and the 4 goals she's chipped in. You don't see that every day.
Yeah, that you're reading my notes, Coach. We haven't been doing this forever, but that's where I was going. How does that happen? Even the little that I know about soccer, Coach, I know that doesn't happen every day. So kind of walk us through that, because I got to know. I was calling the baseball game when the fourth one came. I was like, you just shake your head after a while, right?
Oh, yeah. And truth be told, I think she's hit the bar in the post another 3 or 4 times. So this could, you know, that number could be even bigger. You know, it starts way back when Megan used to take penalties for LSU teams back in the day. And we always wanted her to take free kicks, really good ball striker, but the rest of the team around her wasn't ready for it. And I thought this team here at Rice, Bella's so similar in her ability to strike a ball and willingness to go practice those free kicks every day during the offseason. So she keeps getting better. But I thought the rest of the team could handle it as well. And it certainly is a motivator. It you know, kind of gives a reason. This idea that we're aggressive and we're attacking. If we're willing to send our goalkeeper up, shoot free kicks at the other team's top of their box, we're not scared of anything. So it's been good for the team attitude as well.
Michael Rolfsema also honored for her defense. Discuss how she goes in there. I mean, obviously you have some good offensive players too, but discuss Micah in the great season she's had.
Oh, Micah's been fantastic, especially the second half of the season. You know, she oozes class on the soccer field. And another kid who came to us from Boston College, where she was a very good ACC player, and she's come here and really elevated her game even a little bit more. And right now is having a massive influence on every game.
It was so interesting, for lack of a better term. I wish I had the bigger Rice vocabulary. When you sat down, and it hasn't aired as far as us taping this yet. It hasn't aired that other interview we did with the other female coaches, but I've already referenced it a couple of times. But for the sake of the audience, discuss your path to becoming a women's coach and why this Rice job was appealing to you. Because I learned so much about you hearing your answer to that. We talked about that a little ago and recorded that interview.
Yeah. You know, my path to get here is starting at Furman. In a time when there was a real gender equity, Title IX based explosion of really soccer and softball were the two sports at the time. So I'm very fortunate to get the opportunity to start my career at Furman at a really young age, where I'd actually been the club team coach on campus before the full-time coach, and made more as the club team coach than I did as the full-time coach from my first year. But started the program there 10, 12 years, went on to LSU with when a legendary coach, Skip Bertman, was the AD there, the old baseball coach, won a lot of national championships, and we got on really, really well. And then when this job came open, you know, this is the dream combination of the two for me. This is high-end academics, which recruits the very best players in our sport. Awesome environment day-to-day for the students that spills over to our athletes. And then our approach to athletics here is, I think it's the very, very best in the country. This is what it's all about. Our kids are student athletes. They're not, they're equally committed to both. They're wonderfully curious about their academics, but their athletics as well. And it's just the perfect environment for me.
And lastly, hopefully it's a long stay in the Tar Heel State, but first up on Furman, how do you match up? And obviously the keys to advancing that next round to play Virginia.
Well, they're a really good team, and they're coached by one of my best friends in coaching, Andrew Burr, and he was my assistant before I left for LSU and took over and has done a fantastic job continuing on the success and even building on it some, and I'm so happy for him. But their strength is their front four, and our strength is our defending. So it's, you know, it's going to be a really interesting matchup. Hopefully we can get goals on the other end, but they're unbeaten. You know, they've played 10 games and haven't been beaten yet, so it's going to be a tough nut to crack. That's for sure.
In West Virginia, I might've said Virginia, but I was meaning to say West Virginia, but hey, Coach, thanks so much. I've enjoyed our chats in our brief time knowing each other, but I can't wait for more. Keep it going. Okay. Thank you much.
Yeah, me too. We appreciate being on. Have a good one.
Brian Lee, head soccer coach here at Rice. Stay tuned. We'll wrap up the show right after this. Learfield, IMG College.
baseball season, College Sports Now is stepping up to the plate. Interviews with broadcasters, players, and coaches.
Our young guys are kind of getting fed their lunch a little bit, and it's good. You got to get humble.
Plus, genuine discussion about the things we most care about on the field.
You got the hair swaying out of the back of the helmet, a little bit of the goatee, you know, the little Fu Man going on the bottom of the chin.
Subscribe for your guide to all things college baseball.
Wherever fine podcasts are served.
Search College Sports Now.
I so love recording these interviews. What a great chat with Brian Lee there. Tremendous. Can't wait for that opener against Furman. And then going on, we hope to take on West Virginia. Thanks so much to our guests. Thank you to Coach Lee. And a side plug, if you have not checked out the Night of Flight, we encourage you, as that is, I mean, this is out there in the inner space, but the Night of Flight benefiting Rice Athletics. And he was on the panel with the other two other Rice women's coaches, Coach Bevan and Coach Coach Schmidt. And they just, it was a great talk about supporting women's athletics and just the great women's athletics programs that we have here on South Main. Thanks to Coach Braga for joining us. As always, Rice is at UTSA coming up this weekend as we record it. Rice and the Roadrunners, it's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I will be out in the elements. Yay, me. You can catch those on the, that's sarcasm. You can catch those on the TuneIn app, ricehouse.com, the Rice Game Day app. Just go to that Rice schedule page to the link. Click on the link that fits you for your listening pleasure. And also thanks to Paul Janisch, big leaguer. He is my hero. I always like to mess with him on that. The great Paul Janisch for coming on as well. But most of all, yes, most of all, thanks to you for listening and or watching in. You can subscribe to our podcast that gets you in your phones a little bit earlier than you would otherwise with the social media notifications, and also on YouTube as well, the Rice Athletics YouTube page. Have a great rest of this day or night. God bless you. Go Owls. Rice fight. We'll talk to you next time here on the Rice Owls Insider from Learfield, IMG College.
On the Rice Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College, you've been listening to Rice Owls Insider, powered by IBEW Local 716, lighting up Rice University in Houston for over 100 years. Carbach Brewing Company, crafted for serious fun. And by AT&T Sportsnet, the TV home of the Astros and Rockets. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation on the Rice Sports Network.